We have Buck from the bike shop in Hoquiam. Welcome back, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's really awesome to be here and talk more bikes. I mean,
right. You love bikes.
That's right.
It's freezing cold out and it's early. Are you usually up this early?
I try to be. Yeah. I try to be. I've got three young boys that keep me young, Dad. I guess you could say, or sleeping as much as I possibly can.
Right. Oh, my gosh. You brought a bike here, a mountain bike. Is that what that's called, a mountain bike?
You're right, yeah. So this mountain bike is the bike that I use for my cross-country racing. So this is a full suspension, 29-inch wheeled mountain bike. This is it's got a carbon fiber frame. It has a lot of modern components on it. What we call a one-by drivetrain, where there's one chain ring up front, and this one has 12 gears in the back.
Wow.
Hydraulic disc brakes. A dropper seat post, so it lowers a seat for the descents out of the way, and it goes fast.
It lets
Does
it go
it? Fast. Yep.
Now, do you know how fast you get on these? Do you have one of those gauges that tells you? Or
yeah, actually, I do. So right here on the handlebars.
And I'll post a picture of the bike on our Facebook page here in a minute.
Yeah, so this is my bike computer. I've got a couple sensors that I ride.
And it comes off like it's portable, totally, like a cell phone.
Pretty much. And in fact, I always have this conversation with customers because they say, well, do you have a phone mount? And I say, your phone should be your phone. For emergencies, you know, you don't want to drain your battery when you're out there riding. I mean, way on these far-out trips and trails that we go on, the last thing you want to have is no communication.
Right.
So this bike computer, this tracks everything you mentioned. Speed, cadence, how fast my pedals are spinning, my heart rate. I wear a heart rate strap when I'm racing and on longer rides as well. Mm-hmm. This does everything. In fact, you can see that one of the sensors strapped to my right crank arm there with some zip ties.
Oh, yeah.
You know, high-tech zip ties. Right. And then there's a speed sensor strapped onto the rear hub. So that tells me, how fast I'm going, how fast I'm spinning, and for my heart rate, how fast my heart's pumping.
Wow. Now, I noticed right away the pedals are like dinky. Why are they so small?
Right. So these are very special pedals. These are clipless pedals. What they do is they attach to your shoe, or rather the shoe to the pedal, and it keeps your feet in place. I never have to think about my foot placement.
Okay.
A lot of people initially they'll think these attached pedals, you being attached to your bike, will allow you to pull up as well as push down. There is a little bit of that too, but most importantly, they keep your feet in this right spot perfectly, as long as everything is adjusted right.
Right.
So you don't have to think about it. You just you just ride. You just spin. Mm-hmm. And so that eliminates a lot of that mental work during my racing and during my long rides.
See, I used to see those kind that you stick your toe in, and it was like a little cage kind of holder that would hold your foot onto the pedal. So is that kind of like yesterday technology?
A little bit. I mean, aspects of that are still used, and there's a lot of folks who are most comfortable with those. Great.
Okay.
You know,
use them if you like them, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. The kind of the modern usages you'll see in the city is these bike messengers, and they have just a strap. It's just a big, thick strap that goes over their pedals, and it's sized just right where they can slam their foot in it, and it's pretty secure. Whereas, like, the toe cages was like the toe clip, and then a strap you, like, cinched on there, and you were stuck, man.
Okay, that leads me to, your foot is secured, or your feet, to these pedals. What if you fall? Does the bike fall with you?
Ideally not.
Okay.
Ideally you have things adjusted to where you can, we say, clip out, remove your feet from the pedals. And these are, it's a really slick system because you really just like twist your foot, basically throw your heel out, and then it unclips. These clipless pedals is a major step for a lot of folks because it's that fear of being totally attached to your bike.
Right.
You know, tumbling down the trail or coming to a stop, not being able to get your foot out and falling. And and those sort of accidents happen as we're learning to use these.
Right.
I try to encourage people to still give them a shot. Don't be ready to fall. You know, you should learn how to fall. But these can be adjusted. You can lessen the spring tension so much that your feet barely, your cleats barely are held in there. So then you get kind of used to it. You get used to clicking in and clicking out.
Okay.
And I highly recommend it, folks. If you're doing a lot of miles, if you're doing a lot of riding, upgrading your footwear, your pedals can have huge advantages.
So this looks like a hardcore bike here. Is this considered a hardcore bike?
Well, you could say that. You could definitely say that. I mean, it's a little unfair that I bring this as an example because not everybody is riding the way that I ride.
Right. And you're racing.
That's right. Exactly. This is a very, very purposeful bike. This has a lot of things on it that the like average recreational rider or the parent out there riding with their kids, they're not going to pick this bike first to race or ride. So while it does have a lot of those kind of intimidating factors, this bike represents what the modern mountain bike does have.
Yeah. You know,
especially its full suspension, rear shock, front suspension forks, 29-inch diameter wheel size, and dropper seat post, these modern components. This is, I wouldn't want to call it a hardcore bike. I would say a modern, high-quality bike, you know? I don't want to, like, have the mental image of, like, oh, I'm not hardcore enough to ride this.
I got
Everyone can. And if this is the type of riding you want to do, then this would be the type of bike you will pick.
You said learn how to fall. How do you learn how to fall?
Well, you know, it's kind of like the you don't want to stick your arms out straight when you're landing kind of a deal.
Uh-huh.
If you're looking ahead where you're riding, knowing what's coming up in the trail, so then you're not too surprised.
Right.
I get a lot of folks, especially new mountain bikers, their heads are down. They're looking where their tire is immediately going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that confidence and that trust in the bike is being learned at that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, learning how to fall is anticipating where you're going so then you are ready.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
I wasn't sure if there was like, you know, learn to tumble, you know what I mean? Like when you fall like in, I don't know, martial arts or something, you know, and instead of falling like you just said, tumble, you know.
that can play a role. That can play a role. That's what I love about mountain biking is the surface you're landing on can typically be a little less, you know, abrupt than, you know, in the city on the pavement.
Right, right. So you talked about, like, maybe graduating to this after you've learned something. I mean, you wouldn't get this as your first bike, right? I mean, you'd sell it to someone who wanted that, right?
Absolutely.
But someone who really wanted to learn, they would probably get a fancy bike?
Sure. Well, that's a great observation. That's a great observation because this kind of bike is, one, it's an expensive bike.
Yeah.
Two, it's very purposeful. There's a specific type of riding that is accomplished with this bike.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the questions I always ask folks. The first question, when people come into my shop and they're looking for their first bike, I post it on Facebook, hey, I'm coming up on the show, what questions do you have? And the first question was picking out a bike as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I picked out a bike, I was looking for pink grips and tassels.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So the question is, where are you riding? What kind of riding are you doing? And who are you riding with?
Right.
Because if you're in the group of friends that they are doing this kind of riding, then yes, this is the bike you're going to pick out. And when I say this kind of riding, so this cross-country mountain bike, full suspension, I'm doing rides between 12 and 55 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pedaling up as much as I'm coming down. I'm looking to keep my average speed up pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
I have goals and I'm out there purposefully putting down miles, putting down speed.
Right.
So if I have friends that are doing those types of rides and I'm getting new into mountain biking, this bike represents the upper kind of 25% of component selection, quality, like this is a great bike. Mm-hmm. Will a new rider appreciate this bike?
Yeah.
Absolutely. now, the biggest thing is, you know, will your budget appreciate that bike?
Well, right.
So selecting a bike that's going to meet your riding needs, where you're riding, who are you riding with, and, of course, your lifestyle needs. You know, I don't encourage anyone to go out there and, you know, absolutely break themselves financially just to get a bicycle, right?
Yeah.
Moderation in all things kind of a deal, right?
Right.
So we have bikes for everyone. So when you come into the shop, when you come into LaVogue's, we're going to ask you that. Where are you riding?
Yeah.
Who are you riding with?
Okay, we're going to talk more about that. And our friend Buck is here from the bike shop. in Hulkin. And we're just talking about, like, the right bike for you. Okay, what kind of bike do you suggest for, okay, I'm going to ride in, like, bike parks with the kids who are on trikes and little tassel bikes. You know, what kind of bike do I want then?
Great question. We have what we kind of call these recreational city bikes. Mm-hmm. Again, we're going to look at the multi-purpose use of that bike.
Right.
If you think your kids are, you know, they're just going to stay in town, they're maybe going to be riding it to school and back, mm-hmm. well, what other riding are you going to go get some groceries or whatnot? One of our most popular models in our shop currently is mm-hmm. the Trek Verve. Mm-hmm. The Verve is a kind of a more relaxed riding position. It has mm-hmm. flat handlebars. It has larger diameter wheels, but then skinnier tires. Mm-hmm. You can put on full coverage fenders. It's a great kind of commuter, grocery getter. We say that a lot. And like city path bike.
Okay.
It's awesome. We sell those a lot of times to folks who are, you know, working in the office. They want to go out on a lunch ride and come back.
Right.
They're
going to
take it RVing with them, that type of bike.
So are these bikes easy to maintain?
They are pretty easy to maintain. You know, when you're buying a quality bike from a quality brand such as Trek, or in my race bike example, the Kona bikes, maintenance is easy. You know, it's recommended that you maintain your bike every year, that you bring your bike into the shop every year. I tell my customers, be prepared to spend around $100 a mm-hmm. year to maintain your bike properly. And that's cumulative, right? So if you don't make it in there in that first 12 months or a year span or 2 year span, that's fine. Your bike is still going to operate properly, but your next repair might catch up on the years that mm-hmm. that were missed. So how often should you maintain your bike? At least once a year.
Once a year.
Have the shop get eyes on
it. What do you look? I mean, do you look at the chain? What do you do?
First and foremost, we make sure that the bike is safe. The mm-hmm. brakes are operating properly. Things are attached properly. The frame is in good condition. The wheels are in good condition. Mm-hmm. Your gears are shifting properly. I may or may not have had a motivating experience in college when, like, my bike, the gears were all messed up. They weren't working. Mm-hmm. I was in the middle of, like, calculus classes and Marine Corps reserve stuff. I literally picked up the bike over my head and threw it over a fence.
Oh.
I was done.
Yeah.
So I don't want to have anyone repeat that frustration.
Right. Because you love bikes, man.
I do. I regret that overhead toss every day that I'm working on a bike.
Well, but now you're fixing them one bike at a time.
That's right. That's right.
Where do you find the e-bikes are playing in our culture?
Oh, they are increasingly popular, increasingly accessible.
What is an e-bike for someone who might not know?
Great. An electric bicycle.
Okay.
And in my instance, you know, the electric bikes that we sell there at the shop, mm-hmm. primarily 98% of them are pedal assist electric bikes, mm-hmm. where you don't have a throttle, because that kind of gets into the gray area. There's a lot of legislation. There's a lot of property owner access barriers, because, you know, what is a motorized vehicle?
Right.
Well, if this e-bike has a throttle on it, I mean, it's essentially a motorized vehicle.
Right.
So these electric bikes that are pedal assist only, mm-hmm. they are allowing multiple riders to get out and ride that maybe otherwise would have those barriers to access.
Right. We
have an exceptional customer. She lost her left leg due to an illness, infection, and she's getting back riding because of this electric mountain bike that she purchased from us. She went out and she's super motivated, doing all her own research. But that bike is allowing her to get out and ride again, get back out on the trails, on the paths. And so we're seeing them more and more and more and more. I have a good friend who, he just, with his work schedule and family schedule, he can't get out and ride like some of us.
Right.
So that an e-bike would allow him.
Allows
to,
him.
Yeah, get out and ride with the boys and not
That's
drop.
Awesome. I was going to ask you about just mountain biking in general, and a bike like your bike here that you brought. Do you personally ever have to get off your bike and push it up a hill?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I shouldn't hesitate so much on that.
It's kind of a silly question, I know, but
Yeah, yeah, it happens. It happens, you know, because and that's, for me, that's the aspect of mountain biking that I absolutely love, is because every day I go out, there's going to be something that's going to challenge me. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm riding fast, if I'm riding slow, if I'm riding a new trail, there's something that's going to challenge me and keep me honest, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, like if the hill is too steep or the roots are too slippery.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to get out and push it.
I might.
Okay, good. Because if that happens to me, I'm not going to feel bad now going, okay, Buck has to do this too.
That's right. That's right. Actually, you're going to love this phrase. So when we go out for gravel rides on these logging roads way, way out back in the woods, we have this fun phrase that is sometimes hiking, always biking.
Nice. So, I like that. You got to trademark that if you haven't already.
Oh, it's going to go on
some
T-shirts.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you're talking about gravel rides. Now, do you set out? Do people... Hey, let's do a gravel ride today. Let's do a mud ride. Let's do a dirt ride, a pavement ride. Is that how that works?
A little bit, yeah. And I mean, call it what you want. Get out and ride your bike. That's right. I always say that, you know, and sometimes people get frustrated with me because I'll be like, yeah, well, what gym movements do you need to do? It's like, no, just you want to get better at riding your bike?
Go ride it.
Go ride your bike. And so when I say gravel riding, basically just – there's less single track trail, there's less pavement, and it's mostly gravel roads. Of course, we're surrounded by gravel roads.
Yeah.
We have thousands of miles of gravel logging roads in our county, right? Now, a lot of them are private property, but my favorite area to ride that essentially has, you know, constant access is Wainuchi Lake.
Ooh.
Yep, up there in the National Forest, you can ride on essentially every gravel road you come across in the Wainuchi Lake area within the National Forest. Mm-hmm. In fact, their seasonal closure signs literally say, please come and recreate. Please. Yeah.
Wow.
It's awesome. I love it.
Okay. After our in a minute, we'll have our bottom of the hour break, and after that, we will talk about some of the routes that you've been on. Maybe we can talk about some that you haven't been on yet. I don't know. Maybe you've ridden every route, every bike. Have you ridden every kind of mountain bike path in the county?
Absolutely not.
No?
That's the great adventure. You know, you can go out every day and ride somewhere new.
Okay. Hey, if you have any questions for Buck here, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can email or text message, and that is johnny@jodesha.com. And Buck has brought his racing bike. You only have one bike, right? Or do you have more than one? Uh-oh.
I think I have, last I counted, seven.
Seven? Oh, boy. Okay. Well, hey, you're a bike shop owner. You need to have seven bikes.
Absolutely.
All right. We have Buck from Buck's Bikes, LaVogue's, the bike shop in Hoquiam. What do you prefer to be called, the business? It's like, hey, you know, the bike shop in Hoquiam, or is it LaVogue's, Buck's Bikes, all of the above?
All of the above, but specifically LaVogue Cyclery, LaVogue's.
Okay.
That is the shop that we all know and love. You know, that's what's present in all of our minds.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, so daughter got a bike from her grandma. She got it from Walmart. And it was brand new, but just the gearing, it's hard to shift it. It's even hard for me to shift it for her. And do you work on bikes from other people? Just not bought from you?
Absolutely. We work on all bikes, no matter what they are, where they came from. You know, we're essentially only limited by what that bike can provide. Some companies, we work on e-bikes. Some e-bike companies, they don't support their product as much. But the heartbreaking thing about that example is you have families going out and they're spending good money on a bike that immediately needs service.
Yeah.
You know, so they've spent $150, $200 maybe.
Right.
And then immediately they got to take it to us to get it worked on. Our tune-ups, they start at $90.
Right.
So now you spent up to $290 on a brand new bike that your kid can't even ride yet because it doesn't work right.
Right.
It's super heartbreaking and super frustrating. We work on all bikes, but that money spent could go to a quality bike.
You get what you pay for. You know, it's cliche, but...
It's absolutely correct. That's
okay.
Absolutely correct. You know, so from us, you're going to get a bike that has a lifetime warranty on the frame.
Mm-hmm.
On Trek bikes, it has a 2-year warranty on the components. Mm-hmm. So that shifter, if it's a defect, it's going to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And we honor like a 30-day break-in period.
Oh,
so
wow.
If you bought that bike from us, you take it home, you're like, man, these shifters are really hard. Bring it back to us.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, man, that's on us.
Yeah.
The cable shifted a little bit. You know, we'll fix it. That's
yeah.
a 30-day break-in period on a new bike.
Okay, because stuff happens, right?
That's right. It totally does.
Did you get a question online?
I did, yeah. The question was, what is included in that tune-up? What does that consist of? And so in that example of the Walmart bike, you know, mm-hmm. so we adjust the shifting, make sure the shifting is working properly. We adjust the brakes, make sure that the brakes are working properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then like an overall safety inspection of the bike. If there's any other little things that they need, we do those small items.
So if you're going to call the show, please turn your radio down since we're on a delay. And if you're going to, you know, try to listen to yourself, it's going to just mess up the whole thing. So, yeah, when you do call, turn your radio down, please. 360-533-5259. Email or text johnny@jodesha.com. It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hi, Daddy.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Good. You know how you were talking about with bikes? It's about that one bike?
Yeah.
I actually, like, fell down. I went down the hill one time on that bike,
yeah.
and the brakes weren't working since it was so rusted.
Yeah.
And I had, like, scraped knees for about a month or something.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember. My heart stopped.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, and I'll see you in a little bit, okay, baby?
Okay.
Love you, bye.
That's exactly what we don't want,
right?
You know,
she's talking about a different bike, not the new bike, though, because the that was the older bike because there was rust. Some of it was rusty.
Fair.
But anyway, yeah, we don't want that.
We don't. We want bikes to work properly and safely. And so, again, that tune-up will cover all those things.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cover the installation of basic parts. And then anything that we find on that bike
mm-hmm.
will... Maybe if bearings need to be replaced, or maybe it's a more of a kind of an a la carte item.
Yeah.
We'll add that on top of that tune-up. So $90 gets you that full bike check,
mm-hmm.
basic adjustments, installation of basic part.
So routes. How many bike routes, places, trails do we have in the Twin Counties?
Many.
Yeah.
We've got lots of great places to ride. So I've mentioned Wainuiuchi Lake area because I'm a big fan. I will always talk about that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that has single track options that we're still uncovering and clearing up those trails. There's gravel routes up there. There's road riding all over the county.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any county road you can ride on. Now there are preferred routes that are, you know, less trafficked,
mm-hmm.
they're a little safer, maybe the speed limits are a little less. These back roads are just, they're beautiful to
mm-hmm.
ride on.
Mm-hmm.
We did a loop up 101 and back East Hopewell Road. It was mm-hmm. great.
Local Matters, you're on the air.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, hey.
Hey, this is the Navigator. So I wanted to get my son-in-law a bike for Christmas, and we kind of held off on it. And I told him to go down to La Vogue and check them out so we can pump local money into local businesses. And he's under the impression that $300 is just not enough to get a bike. And correct me if I'm wrong, if you will.
Bike prices, our adult-sized bikes, they'll start about in the $500 range. And then our youth bikes will start about the $350 range.
Okay.
Yep.
That's what I figured. It was around $500 or so. He's a good son-in-law, so he's worth it.
That's outstanding. And you know, you can always check the website pricing because we sell Trek bikes and we sell Kona bikes. So the price you see there on the website, that's going to be the same price you see in our store.
Okay, so do you have a website?
I don't have a website quite yet. We're still building up to it, but the Trek bikes website
okay.
and the Kona bikes website.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call. Do you sell used bikes?
We do.
Okay.
So, you know, when we when I took over ownership of La Vogue,
mm-hmm.
there was a large quantity of used bikes, historic used bikes, that Terry had essentially collected over the decades.
Mm-hmm.
And we sell them. we are in the process of kind of cataloging them, organizing them to then be sold. The unfortunate part is a lot of those bikes aren't very modern bikes. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be right. 20 years old and older.
Okay.
We do sell them. We operate a trade-in program that is through bicyclebluebook.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly like Kelley Blue Book.
Yeah.
You can put in your year, make, and model of your bike, and it'll tell you what the private party value is, what the trade-in value is, and that is the website, and that is the price guiding that we use for our used bikes. So if you have a bike you think has some value, check out the value on bicyclebluebook.com, or just bring it in, because we'll do the same thing. We'll pull up that website,
right.
Look at it.
You're not out to lowball anybody.
No. In fact, most of the time, we give them the highest price that Bicycle Blue Book will give us.
Right. Okay. So how about biking trails and places to go around here, let's say the Aberdeen area? Are there safe places to go?
There are. There are a number of safe places. So we do our shop rides on Saturdays, in the winter on Saturdays. One of our last rides, we left from the shop in Hoquiam. Mm-hmm. We came down Riverside. We jumped on Aberdeen Avenue and rode to kind of the Chehalis Bridge area, and then hopped on the the Chehalis River Trail that goes to the Bishop Athletic Complex from the base of the bridge. Mm-hmm. That little out and back, it's a paved path. So
nice.
If you are a new rider looking to ride somewhere, you don't have to worry about cars, you don't have to worry about the difficulty of the trail, that Chehalis River Trail is it, out and back from the Bishop Complex or the bridge.
You know, Boss Bill had come in this morning and you know, saw the bike and I guess coincidentally drove past a biker. Do we call him biker? Cyclist?
Yeah. What,
okay. And it was dark out, and he's like, gosh, I almost hit him because I didn't see him until it was like, you know, I was up by him. He wasn't wearing any reflective clothing or bright clothing. What do I do? As a rider, do I go out and buy fluorescent orange, or are there stickers I can put on my jacket or lighting, anything like that?
Yeah, all of the above.
Yeah.
You know, at a very minimum, so you are required by law to have a rear reflector and a front reflector or headlight.
Mm-hmm.
At night, if you're going to be riding in the dark, you are required to have a light attached to your handlebars and a rear reflector.
Okay.
We sell daytime riding lights, and then also we sell lights that will help you see at night. And so that's always my question for folks. You know, okay, I'm looking for a bike light. Are you looking to see, or are you looking to be seen?
Yeah.
Because those are two kind of ranges.
Yeah.
I always ride with lights. If whether it's daytime or especially if it's nighttime, I always ride with lights. Always wear reflective, cycling clothing. So like in the winter, my shoe covers. So it's I have my cycling shoes and my feet get cold. I have these shoe covers and they've got some reflective bits on them.
Mm-hmm.
Our jackets, they usually have a reflective bit on them. And then also I remember Boss Bob, he said that, the rider was coming at him. And so as a cyclist, you should follow the rules of the road.
Mm-hmm.
There's an exceptional, I think it's a South Park episode. They talk about cycling. It's super hilarious. Everybody wants some good, cheap fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, are you a pedestrian? Are you a vehicle? Make up your mind. Well, when we go on group rides, we will follow the trails, follow the routes, and when we're on the roads, we follow the rules of the roads. We're riding on the right side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
We're riding usually two abreast so that we're seeing well, stopping at stop signs, following the rules of the road.
We're talking about bike trails and, you know, picking up biking. Do you guys still wear spandex in the, like, the racing world?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Do I have to wear spandex if I go riding in one of your rides that you do on Saturdays?
No, absolutely. You
have to wear spandex?
Absolutely. It's a requirement. You've got to wear it.
Okay. Okay, just making sure. Hey, it's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering if he's ever ridden the Hiawatha Trail.
I personally have not. We get their promotional materials each season, and I have good close friends that have ridden it, and we promote the heck out of it because the Hiawatha Trail is awesome.
Where's that at?
So that's right on the border of, I think it's mostly in Idaho, and you get the shuttle that takes you to the top, and you ride down. You ride through, like, is it seven train tunnels?
It's oh, wow.
Awesome.
I know you start out, you go out, lookout pass.
Yeah.
You park there, then you go through a mile and a half tunnel. Yeah. And it's like a whole bunch of tunnels, but it's kind of a 2% downgrade, and they'll shuttle you back to your car. And we plan on doing that this summer, so I just wonder if you've done it, what your opinion was.
I have not done it personally, but my opinion is it's very exceptional experience. I highly recommend it, that gradual decline. Oh, man, because I think it's like, is it like 12 or 14 miles? It's beautiful.
16.
There we go.
16, yeah. Okay, I thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for the call. I got a text. Is there any way to get between Central Park Drive and the park in Aberdeen by the block other than riding on the highway?
Great question. We are still developing our cycling infrastructure for the area, and there is no easy way to span that gap besides doing Blue Slough Road.
Okay. Okay. That could be an interesting drive, right?
And a long ride, too.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hey, I have a question about your facility there, which, of course, you're in the former Levy Lumber Building over in Hoquiam.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for a long time there was a sign out in front of it that said, Enter Emmert International for rent or lease. Now, you're in part of that building, but there is the part behind there that was the lumber yard of Levy Lumber. Is that still something that's open and not being used, or what's the story there?
Great observation. So we are expanding our operations. We are signing a lease that is the entire address there. We have some really big plans that involve community programs and other activities that will utilize the lumber yard, the fenced-in area, as well as the other warehouse. So, we are a tenant of Emmert. They are exceptionally stoked to do some community building.
Mm-hmm.
My meeting with them was their question to me: how can we get more people to come to Grays Harbor?
Wow!
So we're building up. Yep.
How are they as a landlord?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Great question. So far, so good. You know, I've got a few years of business under my belt, managing different leases, and you know, so far, so good. We had some great negotiating, and in that negotiation meeting, you know, they advised me to focus on building my business vertically. You know, not doing some little side thing to take up the room of that lumberyard, but mm-hmm. rather doing something that would expand on our bicycle business mm-hmm. and our community building desires.
Wow.
So far, okay. So good. We're locking in a 5-year lease there.
What's going on with the old LaVogue's building over on Simpson at 6th?
Yeah, so the Harbor Strong LLC, that ownership group there, Sam, the owner of the coffee shop, they're doing an exceptional amount of work. They're doing remodels. Right now, if you look into the old bike shop space, you've seen that they've torn up the entire floor. They're mm-hmm. putting in a heated slab-on-grade concrete floor in there. And
wow.
they've got some really grand ideas and goals to turn that entire building into kind of a boutique hotel.
Wow. When did you guys move over from the old to the new?
Terry was still with us when he moved over, and that was it's been almost 2 years now.
Okay. Super. Thanks. That's very informative.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the great question. Any plans on moving back to the original location?
Or that location? Right. I would love to.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us here in Hoquiam, Aberdeen, Grays Harbor, we all have memories mm-hmm. of going into LaVogue's, you know, at that historic location.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the bike shop has been there operating since like the 50s or 60s,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I would love to. We will see what happens, you know.
Right.
We are going to do our best to make the current location be as best as it can be.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm not, like, holding on any reservations or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We are just moving forward with being the best bike shop in the county and the West mm-hmm. Coast that we possibly can.
Awesome, man. Any other kind of events coming up?
Yeah, we got a few.
Okay.
You know, so I brought in my race bike. You know, it's right. got the number plate on it, and yeah. got my
number 205.
Chip. That's right. That's right. So there are local races that you can participate in, mm-hmm. and this upcoming Sunday, the 5th, is the second race of the West Side Mountain Bike Series that I participate in. And the last race, which is what it was at Tacoma, we brought 18 racers.
Wow.
So we had 18 individuals representing Grays Harbor.
I didn't know there was that many people here riding bikes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is a, yeah. Always people ask, you know, are there really that many people that ride bikes here in Grays Harbor? Mm-hmm. And there are. Mm-hmm. There absolutely are. And so our goals is to really become the cycling cultural center mm-hmm. of Grays Harbor. Encourage people to get out and ride, come in, get a bike, get out, get healthy, ride your bike, participate in these events and activities, because the biggest thing that I have gleaned from those activities is new friendships, mm-hmm. new places to ride. Mm-hmm. And, of course, looking back and having just great experiences in general. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 33. I push myself really hard on my bike, you know, mm-hmm. so I look at all the data and stuff. But if you want to come out and have a good time on a bike, mm-hmm. I say the races are less of a race and more of a party in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next race coming up is Sunday at Soaring Eagle Park in Sammamish up there mm-hmm. in King County. And those races, this is number 2 of 8 coming up. And in April, there is the Cascadia Super Gravel, which is happening at Capitol Forest.
It's wow.
put on by our good friends Down East Racing. Mm-hmm. During the summer, there are even more events. I am a race director for the Wainuchi Gravel Unravel, the yeah. Wainuchi, because why not go
why
slay
not?
Yourself?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right. And so that's happening July 24th mm-hmm. up at Wainuchi Lake, a great local race in our county that you can participate in. There are summer races, enduro races, kind of downhill mm-hmm. races, above the now recently closed ORV park
right.
at the edge of the county. Some exceptional mountain bike trails there. Mm-hmm. We have great trails in Montesano City Forest, above Lake Sylvia State Park, out in Seabrook. Yes, anyone can go ride the trails out in Seabrook. They are public access.
Okay.
They're awesome. They're building more, so that's mm-hmm. great. If you find yourself out at the beach or if you live out that area, great place to ride. Down South County, there's some trails kind of on your way to Westport out by kind of Brady's Oysters. There's a couple paths,
okay.
trails back there that are yeah. really beautiful, really, really good to ride. There is the Willapaw Trail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Willapaw Trail, mm-hmm. and they have the a Facebook group, Friends of Willapaw Trail or something.
Yeah.
And they have group rides every month. So if you're down, you know, Pacific County and South Grays Harbor County, that path is awesome. Just like the Chehalis River Trail. It's mm-hmm. just flat, paved, and go for miles.
I have a text. I have two older Huffy coaster brake bikes, both in good shape and easy to ride on flat land around town. Do you install electric conversion kits? Do you consider conversion kits worth the investment?
They definitely can be. You know, usually what I'll immediately compare them to is the value of the bike versus the value of the kit.
Yeah.
Our e-bike kits, which we are a dealer of ebikekits.com, so mm-hmm. you can go and look up those kits. They start at around, you know, $1,200.
Yeah.
You know, so we have e-bikes on our floor that the entire bike is starting at like $1,800, $2,000.
So you might think about just investing in an e-bike as opposed to investing in the kit, just the price and what you get and what you'll have in the end.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. And you know, with that e-bike, the complete bike you buy from us, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to come with gears, hydraulic disc brakes. It's going to come set up because it's still a bicycle rather than like the kit installed onto it.
Yeah.
Do we install those kits? Yes, absolutely.
Right. You know, if that's what you want to do, we'll do it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. We work on all bikes. We install everything that we can support and stand behind.
Yeah.
It's a good product.
Right. Okay. Gosh, I remember Huffy bikes too. Yeah.
Oh man. If you want to come into the shop and take a look around, we have got some really fun things hanging around. In fact, mm-hmm. right now on display, from our good friend Joffrey down in Grayland, he's a bike collector mm-hmm. of old antique bikes.
Oh, really?
We have a late 19th century, or it's the late 1800s mm-hmm. bike in the shop right now. It has a license plate on the head tube right above the forks and front wheel.
Wow.
It's a license plate that says 1898. It's got wood rims.
Wow.
It's got pneumatic tires, a skip tooth chain. It's beautiful. And that is a piece of Hoquiam history. So we plan to be here for the next, you know, 70 years
right.
selling bikes. And we've got some really cool vintage BMX stuff hanging around.
Yeah,
we've
any
got,
Mongoose, Diamondback, any of that
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
stuff?
We've got
Redline.
We've got a Mongoose Expert Pro 24 hanging up.
Wow.
And we've also got a Hutch Pro Racer hanging up.
right.
So we've got some real cool stuff,
nice.
As well as new bikes.
Right, of course. How about those, like, unique kind of rides, you know, those, remember those old big, large trikes? It would be the size of your bike, but, you know, it had two wheels in the back with a little basket. And do you have any of those, like, I don't know, they don't have to be old, but are there, like, new kind of unique designed bikes out now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is the great thing about the modern day with bikes,
mm-hmm.
is there is a bike for everyone. So we sell and we stock tricycles.
Yeah.
You know? For those folks who need that stability assistance,
right.
and they still want to get out and get active.
How about four-wheel bikes? Do they make those?
They do make them.
Oh, okay.
So there's like the, Surrey is a brand,
mm-hmm.
And they're big and they're beefy. If you've ever ridden one in Ocean Shores,
yeah.
you know just how big and heavy they are.
Hey, Buck, it's been a privilege to have you here, and thanks for sharing such great information.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.